On the consular convention, I talked with Nick. I think he talked with you too. It appears that the thing to do is for me to try to get Mr. Hoover to make a good reply to Central Fulbright's letter without just going back up there, if he won't, for me to make it myself. That'll cause a few fireworks, but I tell you, I really feel if he got up there and some senators started throwing him out on espionage, it could be awfully bad. I think there's a pretty high risk there. As far as the small meetings are concerned, I can't really judge them because I haven't been close enough to what these senators are thinking. But I'm afraid we've lost the opportunity for that, at least the best opportunity, because they've now made these formal public demands for him to come back up there. On the trial, why they wound up, I think our people feel that they don't spot any difficult legal issues to be presented to the court tomorrow on the framing of the charge to the jury. The judge indicated that he felt he might not submit it to the jury Friday. He might wait till Monday. That would give him a little more time to consider the charge, and also give the lawyers time to prepare their argument. He apparently said in chamber, and this didn't come from Bittman, this came quite indirectly from another lawyer for the government, that he thought the government had put on a weak case. That he thought if the jury came back in quickly, it would be an acquittal. The best chance for a conviction would be some long, confusing deliberations in there. If that's what he's thinking, well, I think that might affect his the way he presents his charge to the jury. He's a former U.S. attorney, as you recall, you appointed him, and he's a Republican administration president, and I've never made a U.S. attorney. So he has quite a good practical feel for D.C. juries and the trial, and he's an awfully fair-minded guy, I think. That's not much that they saw in the trial that meant too much. Apparently Bittman felt that Bob Kerr Jr. made an awfully fine witness. I couldn't really tell that he, from what Bittman said to the people downstairs, that he said very much. Fred Black was put on. Bittman described Kerr as being humble and modest, but direct and forthright, and quite an excellent witness. This fellow Galt from Otis Elevator testified as to a breakfast meeting the morning of the Senator Chavez's funeral, and Fred Black testified. That's about all there is on that.
Andrew, it just looks like to me the government played hell on this stealing charge, if at least in substantial part, if these two sums that he specified, he gave him in October and November 25th. And those are the only two times Kerr had been in his box since 1955. And the only two deliveries he made to him here, both times he went that same day and opened his box, and when they opened the box, by God, those identical amounts were in there.
Well, I certainly feel that our investigation does not appear to have been even-handed. It looked like we were looking for evidence of conviction and not of guilt and not of innocence. Apparently, Bob Kerr Jr. testified that the money was unsegregated, that there were just great big gobs of cash in there, and that when they dealt it out for five people to count, that one guy came up with $60,000 back. That was contrary to what I had heard earlier, that 16,200 was in the envelope, so I'm not really...
That's what the reporter testified.
And that's what Fred told me the day that that went in.
Bob Kerr, I have no respect for him, whatever. This boy protected his daddy day and night, saved his life, did every damn thing good for him. And he knew not one damn thing about it, or anything else. And he comes up here and joins a goddamn bunch of lusty, bloodthirsty bastards that's trying to not only they'd put his daddy in jail if he'd live, that's what they were after. They'd like to put anybody in jail that crosses. And he's just a dumb idiot, that's what he is. But anyway, it's over with, I guess. All the damage been done can be done, except the sentence, isn't it? And what does he do when he gets a few years? He appeals it to the Court of Appeals and then goes on to the Supreme Court?
Well, the jury hadn't found him guilty yet.
Oh, but if he is, I think they will. They tell me, a friend of mine tells me, it's the worst thing he ever heard about a jury. That they didn't have anybody except somebody that got first place 11 Negroes.
That's right.
But that's outrageous against a white man here at the time Adam Clayton Powell is being persecuted, and people saying that...
That was William's choice. Our people told me that...
they told me that they had him... It's the damnedest selection, William says. It's the damnedest thing he's ever seen in any selection. The unfairness of someone to judge. I didn't hear it, but that's what a very good friend of mine here said. And I think that's what he's going to rely on, mostly on reversal, selection jury. I think he said the judge just took a bunch of challenges off without even being present. A lot of stuff like that. Thought the judge was in there.
Our boys haven't spotted that. They're not aware of that.
And our friend, William, was pleased with it, although he thought it's very high-handed, very unfair. He thinks it's a framed jury. He thinks you all fixed the jury too. Pick who you wanted. First place, by telling him it's going to take 3 or 4 months, and that nobody that was happy and wanted to do his job would want it. And just those that had something in their craw and so on. So anyway, I don't know. Abe thinks that that's the strongest point they got, the way you handled the jury selection.
Doesn't sound very strong to me. I was told that there was no juror that declined to serve because of the length of time that they'd be locked up. So that, of course, I may not have been told right, but that's what they told me.
He didn't tell me that they didn't. He just said that those that they got were kind of enticed into it. But I don't know enough about how to select them. Anyway, that is a point. Anyway, it's over with, I guess now. All the evidence is in, they closed up, and now it's just a charge.
Just the charge and then the argument. The argument always gets a lot of fanfare. That's the most dramatic part of the trial. And there'll be some shouting about that. Then the deliberations, then the verdict, and then if the verdict is guilty, the motion for new trial. And the appellate procedure with the potential that it would go to the Supreme Court.
Okay.
Won't be rough on this consular convention thing, but I don't. I think this is the lesser of the evils. Go ahead and write.
Just let me know what you were able to work out on the letter thing.
Okay, sir.
You ever talk to Hoover at all yourself?
Do I ever?
I say, have you?
Surely. Talk to him.
On this, the last day.
I haven't talked to him since about 3 o'clock this afternoon.
What does he feel? Do you have any remorse or anything?
He is basically... No, he has no remorse. I can tell, but he does seem... he's excited about it, and he's excitable about it. And he's he comes forth so strong that you think he's protesting too much. He's overly defensive, he says. And others have misused him. But while he doesn't admit admitted, perhaps even to himself, it's pretty clear that he basically opposes the treaty. He comes forward with a statement like, I couldn't state I'm for it, and I wouldn't state I'm against it. The difference between couldn't and wouldn't there is pretty significant. He just say, I could not state I'm for it, and I will not state I'm against it. What he's saying, although he doesn't say this specifically and probably didn't realize it, is that he's against it and therefore can't state that he's for it. He wouldn't state that he's against it because it's not his prerogative.
Somebody told me today that the leak delivered the American Legion. Everybody's going to wire all the American Legion.
Well, I think he's been awfully close to the American Legion, but if he did that, it is really something because...
I think you ought to ask him, just tell him that some of them are worried about it. Don't tell him I am, just say some of the reports are coming.
Well, he'll deny it flat down and be offended by it because he protested to me his great desire to help and all the things he tried to do to help. I asked him why, if he was working so hard to help us, he didn't let me know about that month letter. And he just said, well, I had the crime commission going, and I had Mr. Hoover on me, and he busted at me all the time, and it's hard to see him, and it was such a short time, and I called him like the first chance I got, 2:05. I think the truth is that...
2:05 Monday?
2:05 Monday, yeah.
The letter was there at 10 o'clock, that's the
thing. Well, before 10:30, yeah. I think the truth is that...
Scared too on account of Hoover?
That's right. It's not that he's trying, that he's against it himself and working against it. It's that he was afraid to. If I found out about it, there could be no explanation except a bureau leak, you see. And therefore, he didn't see any way that he could tell me in such a way that I could do anything to help.
And the clock he could have when he confronted Russ with it.
Who could have?
He could have told you when he confronted Rusk with it, 10 o'clock Monday morning.
He could have told me when Munt confronted Rusk, that's right.
I guess he didn't know, though.
Well, he probably didn't know the exact time, and he probably felt that would be a more difficult time for him because his culpability would look greater. If he waited a little while and tried to brush it off, it might slide by somehow. But it was hardly team playing.
Ramsey, assuming you get tired of being Deputy Attorney General, who are the best potentials in this country for the Deputy Attorney General? I guess you know the misery, agony that the Wiesel's causing.
I'm sure of it. I hate to say it because I love the Wiesel's, but I think that would be a serious mistake.
Well, brought them in here, you know.
Beg your pardon?
I say, you all brought him in here.
Well, I guess so. Seems like I've made a lot of mistakes. I had other recommendations for the Land Division, but anyway, it would be, that would be awfully hard for us. It really would. I think it would be a great handicap in moving this department forward. I think it's awfully important that you have an Attorney General who can show a contrast to the Kennedy administration of this department. That's the thing I think needs to be done here just in terms of fairness and effectiveness. And I think you can show a big contrast. And I think if you don't have a hard-hitting top team, that you can't, you lose a good part of that opportunity to deputy off the key position. I really don't think that you have the man here in the department. I would say, if I was out of the department, I'd say Barefoot would be perfect. If I was in the department, I think that might be too many Texans. And therefore, I think that certainly the first place to look hard is outside the department. And I haven't really focused on it to where I haven't.
I sure think you better.
Judgment this time.
Good. What have you thought about Solicitor?
Well, I haven't thought about that either. I think we had a vacancy there that we ought to go for brilliance.